Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive your word today as we ought to receive as believers. Today, our eyes behold Jesus even as he sees us in himself. As we learn from the written word, we'll walk in the light of it. And Jesus is glorified even as we are edified. Amen. Glory to God. So, we want to round off the teaching we started during prayer trip on the believing believers. Hallelujah. We're looking at the believing believers. Hallelujah. The believing believers. Now we said, sometimes believers run into unbelief. Hallelujah. Get into unbelief. Glory to God. But before we start today, let's just take a look at some few things we've seen. We said, a good teacher is a good student, right? He's also a good student. And a good student, or put it, a good disciple, is first of all, we said, a good disciple is first of all a good reader and a good observer. We said all that, right? Right? Okay, for those of you who were around on Thursday, I made mention of a few things. Now, I said in observation, it was observed how the Old Testament books were written. So during midweek service on Thursday, we said some few things. I gave us four things that we must observe from the New Testament writers and the Lord Jesus when they used the Old Testament book. You must always know how do they use the Old Testament books. You know, many times we think Old Testament is old, it's gone. No, it's not gone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the Old Testament is not gone as people say. Okay, hear me. Some people say Old Testament is gone. See, if I remember old things, and I think old things is Old Testament. No. Amen. The Bible never, no writer of scripture called the 39 books Old Testament. It's a new invention. Hallelujah. It wasn't called Old Testament. So we said, we must ask ourselves, what do they call Genesis to Malachi? Amen. What do they call it? In John chapter 5, that is the first thing we said, John 5:39, Jesus will say, John 5:39, he said, you search the scriptures, and then you think you have eternal life. So, Genesis down to Malachi is called scriptures. You search the scriptures. He said, and then you think you have eternal life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, into 16. Paul will say to Timothy, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, he said, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So he calls it scriptures, holy scriptures. This is that holy scriptures. So Genesis to Malachi is referred to as scriptures. Hallelujah. Look at John 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, Philip founded Nathanael and said unto him, who found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophet did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So, it's called scripture, it's called Moses and the prophet. Did you that? They never called it Old Testament. It's called scriptures. Amen. Amen. We said number two, they are the only materials through which the oracles of God were communicated. The 39 books, Genesis down to Malachi, that we now call Old Testament, is the only material they had through which the oracles of God were communicated. When we read earlier, 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul would say, from a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make the wise unto salvation, through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He called the Scriptures, right? Hallelujah. He called the Scriptures. He said, we have the message of God's salvation in it. Hallelujah. Luke 24:25. Jesus finding two of his disciples, Cleopas and his friend, on their way to Emmaus, he said to them in verse 25, O fools and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. He says, offer the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory.
So he said, what you find in all the prophets is what the message of the Christ. He says, I'm beginning at Moses and all the prophets. That is Genesis down to Malachi. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures. You see that? So the scriptures is called Moses and the prophet. In all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So therefore, we can say the message of scriptures, you find it in Genesis down to Malachi. You find the message of scriptures in Genesis down to Malachi. Verses 44. He said, and he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, everything in the law of Moses, in the prophet, and in the Psalms concerning me. So, therefore, we will say that the Genesis down to Malachi was the only book that they had to teach God from. So, like I said to those of you who were around during teaching meetings, they were teaching meetings, you are looking at the book of Colossians, and most of us were not there. Amen. Most of us were not there. I don't know why you weren't there, but such meetings will help you how you read your Bible. Amen. So, we said something. We said, we spoke about the message of scriptures, right? We spoke about the message of scriptures, and then we saw what the message of scriptures is. Hallelujah. And we discovered that where they wrote from is from Genesis to Malachi. That's where they taught from. Amen. So the message of God, Genesis to Malachi, is where you have the message of God. Okay, hearing me? Amen. Glory to God. So they didn't use any other books. Like I was saying yesterday, I said some people think you know God. Some people have ventured into reading books like Nebuchadnezzar. And you know God with Nebuchadnezzar, reading Da Vinci Code. Believers are reading 14 laws of power. What do you need those things for? Then I just want to understand. Understand what? What are you looking for? Amen. Remember years back, my friend and I were in Negus Nagar. I said, Negus yourself, Anagat yourself. He's a king of kings, that's a good one. I don't want to know. We wanted to venture to see what happened to the Queen of Sheba after he left Solomon. How did that one part of our own business? Amen. Amen. What you have from Genesis down to Revelation given to you as Bible is sufficient for you to know God. Hope you're hearing me. Stop venturing into other things. Some of them were looking for the book of Laodicea. Continue looking for it. Amen. We're looking for the book of Yashar or the book of 3 Corinthians. You're looking for Yashar, you've got it to 3 Corinthians. Before you begin to go to 2 Colossians, only you or your Amen. Stop. What you have as scripture is sufficient. The disciples, including Jesus, when Jesus resurrected, that is this look we're reading. You know, we have just come to the disciple, now let me give you guys Jesus. Right? He didn't do that though. He said, beginning at Moses. Moses is Genesis. Amen. And all the prophets, down to Malachi, he expounded to them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. What has just happened in the resurrection, he had to teach it from Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Number three, we said. They didn't handle the Old Testament books, as we call it, as materials that is going into extinction or that has gone into extinction. They didn't read it like that. Rather, they handled it as material that is sufficient for spiritual growth. Isn't that? For spiritual growth. In John 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, Paul says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. He said it's profitable. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That word instruction in righteousness, when you have the Greek word paideia in diakosune, well, that word is used for growth, spiritual growth. Amen. Spiritual growth. How we grow in the things of the Spirit. Glory to God. So therefore, where would you find it? All scriptures. Genesis down to Malachi. What Paul read as scripture is not Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. What Paul read as scripture was Genesis down to Malachi, because Matthew, Mark, Luke and John was not written. Did you see that? So what he had as scripture that he read was Genesis down to Malachi. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. How's all the rest? For spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Hope you are following that. Glory, glory, glory. Number four, we said, they did not write their materials, which is the New Testament, was not to replace the Old Testament books. The New Testament books was not to replace the Old Testament books. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Rather, they wrote that you will read the New Testament, you read their writing, which is the New Testament books, together with the Old Testament books. So that means how you understand what they are writing is to have a grasp of Genesis down to Malachi. So that means if you don't have a grasp of Genesis down to Malachi, you won't have a full understanding of what they are writing. Hope you are following that. Glory to God. So the context of their words, the context of their writing is Genesis down to Malachi. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Therefore, in Matthew 1, Matthew is about to write about the incarnation of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, his burial and his resurrection, and he opens up with Matthew 1:1. He says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. When you use the word generations of Jesus Christ there, that word is the word you find in Genesis chapter 5. So, it goes again to Genesis. The word generations there is the Greek word Genesis. So Jesus goes to Genesis. I mean, Matthew goes to Genesis to write about the incarnation of Jesus. Okay, follow me. Hallelujah. He wants you to read the incarnation of Jesus and it starts from Genesis. In Mark 1. Mark is to open up and look at what Mark says. He says the beginning. The word beginning there is the word archaeomai used for Genesis. He said the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So he goes to Genesis again. He says the Genesis of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's what it means. In verse 2, he now tells you how to read. He said, as it is written in the prophet. Where is prophet Genesis? Unto Malachi. Though he's reading Malachi. He said, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare the way before thee. Did you see that? So he goes to Malachi. And then to Isaiah in verse 3. Making you see how to read. How you will read their writing is to read backwards. Backwards as in how? You read their writing and you read it backwards into Malachi, into Isaiah, into Moses. Did you see that? So how you read? So I said to us, if what you're reading in the New Testament doesn't point your attention back to the Old Testament, then you're not reading, well. Amen. For you to read well is that what you read in the New Testament books should point your attention again to the Old Testament books. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Glory to God. John 1. He says, look at John. He's about to write again. He goes again to Genesis. He says, in the beginning, Genesis, right? Beginning is Genesis. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He says, the same was in the beginning with God. So, he's about to write about Jesus and he says, Jesus is the Word in Genesis. Did you see that? Amen. He is the Word in Genesis. And we explain that word Word there is not just Logos. It has its root word in the Hebrew word Dabar. Dabar is used for a visible person. Amen. So you get some of our materials we've ministered before today. And then make sure you're around the church as we explore that word further. But we said it's the visible reality of God in the Old Testament. That is, God was visible in the Old Testament today. Hallelujah. You saw God. And John now says, the God that they had encounter with, he said, he became flesh. And that is who is with us. Showing you that Jesus is God. Okay, follow me. Jesus is God. Okay. Okay, follow me. Therefore, we say you must observe as a good disciple. Observe how scriptures are written. A good disciple. Let's see what Jesus said about a disciple. Matthew 28, verse 20. Verse 18. It says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. Say, go therefore and teach. That is what make disciples of every nation. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Say, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And know I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. He said, make good disciples. And he makes disciples rather by teaching them to observe. So observing is very vital. In discipleship, observing is vital. Glory to God, you must observe. what God, what Christ has commanded now. Observe how you, the word observe is to, like I said to Rod, the word terio means how you look at something. You put your eyes on something, you fix your eyes on something. Amen. Not to allow it go. Your eyes is fixed on it. In such a way that if you blink it, if your eyes blink, you might lose. So you put your eyes, you know how you put your eyes on something? As though it's going to disappear when you take your eyes off. Right? So that's how you observe. You are keenly paying attention. It's a all what I've commanded. So we can say, we get back to see what Jesus commanded. That was what we saw last week. That we must always put our attention on. You must always keep your attention on it. And we said one, we said we are born again. Hallelujah. Amen. We said that, right? We are born again. Glory to God. Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, John 3:3, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And when went out to explain it, verse 5, he now said, except a man be born of water, that is the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So that means to be born again is to be born in, or to be born of the spirit. We said that. Amen. To be born again is to be born of the spirit. Hallelujah. To be born of the spirit. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Quickly follow me to Romans 8. Hallelujah. Amen. That is fine. Oh, okay, as I'm on verse 1. So there's therefore now no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus, which walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. Well, that's which walk not after the spirit, or rather the spirit is not in the original, but let's just continue. They were the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. So for what the law couldn't do, that was weak through the flesh. God said in his own son the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. Say, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit the things of the spirit. For the carnal minded is death, but the spiritual minded is life and peace. He said, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. 9:8. For I mean, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Hallelujah. You know what he said? But ye are not in the flesh. Hallelujah. He said, ye are not in the flesh. But rather, but in the spirit. Now that was, if so, right? It actually is because you are in the spirit, because the spirit of God dwells in you. Amen. Remember we said, to be born again is to have the spirit of God. Hallelujah. So therefore, that means you are in the spirit. Amen. By virtue of the fact that the Spirit of God is in you, you are born of the Spirit, right? You are in the Spirit. Glory to God. The believer is not trying to go in the Spirit. By being born again, the believer is in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Paul will say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, he says, for what man? Know the things of a man. Okay, verse 9. He said, I have not seen that ear, heard that ear, entered the heart of man. 1 Corinthians 2. The things which God has prepared for them that love him, he said, but he has revealed them to us by his spirit. They were one man knowing the things of the man, except the spirit of the man. Say the things of God right no man, except the spirit of God. Now we've received. Hallelujah. Can you say that? Verse 12. Now we've received. Not the spirit of this world, but the spirit of God, and whom I know the things that are freely given to us. Receive with spirit, not in the world, in which man wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Spiritual things with spiritual. Hallelujah. So, spiritual things with spiritual. Who does it call spiritual? The man that has received the spirit. In the spirit. In chapter 3 verse 1, it says, I call spiritual life unto spiritual. So that means the believer is spiritual. It is my default configuration. I am spiritual. By being born again, I am spiritual. You see that? Amen. I'm in the spirit. The things of the spirit are not aliens to me. I am in the spirit. Hope you're following me. I am in the spirit. Hallelujah. Because I have the spirit of God. Look at Galatians 3 verse 3. Follow me now. Verse 33. He says, are you so foolish? He says, haven't be done in the spirit. So that means to be born again is to begin in the spirit. Do you see that? To be born again is to do what? Begin in the spirit. How are you following that? How are you following that? To be born again is to do what? Begin in the spirit. Hallelujah. So when a man is born again, he has begun in the spirit. They have begun in the spirit. Say, I'm born again and I've begun in the spirit. I'm born again, I'm in the spirit. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God. Let's go for that idea. Now, we say that one is born again. The man has the spirit, born of the spirit, he has the spirit, he's spiritual, right? He's righteous. We say that. He's righteous. He's righteous. He's righteous. No, no, righteous. Righteous is to do something that is good. No, no, no. You are righteous by nature. Hallelujah. Amen. Bible says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So God has declared us righteous in Christ. So to be born again, like we said, is to be in Christ. And Christ in you, right? So we are, by virtue of being in Christ, we are declared righteous. Hallelujah. You are righteous. By nature, you are righteous. Okay, follow me. And we say, because of the Spirit of God, who is in you how? Forever. You are righteous forever. Okay, following that. Okay, following that. Say, I'm righteous forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. So the believer is righteous. Okay. Righteous. Now, the believer is holy. 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 Sanctified. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Sanctified. The noun of that word sanctified is saint. So the believer is a saint. Say, no, I'm not a saint. You are denying who you are. Hallelujah! See, I'm a saint in Christ. I'm a saint. Hallelujah! You're not a saint because of the good things you've done or the bad things you've done. You're a saint because Jesus has made you a saint. Hope you're following that. Hallelujah! You're a saint because Jesus has declared you a saint. Saint. Hallelujah! Glory to God. So, the man born again, you know, he says, is the man born again is a believer. He or she is a believer. Why? It's because he believes the gospel. He is a believer. Believer. He believes the gospel. Hallelujah. So I'm a believer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He believes the gospel. John 1:12. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Did you see that? We are called sons because we believe. We believe. So a man is born again because he believes. John 14:1. John 14 verse 1 said, let not your heart but trouble. He said, yet believe in God, believe in me also. Believe. You see that? Believe. Believe. So we are called believers in 1 Corinthians 15. So how does a man get born again? He believes. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 verse 1 says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach unto you, which ye have received, wherein ye stand. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory the things that I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. That means we got saved when the gospel is preached to us and we believe it. Amen. Amen. We believe it. Romans chapter number 10. Follow me closely. Romans 10 verse 9. Romans 10 9. It says, if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
is that thou shalt be saved. So we believe, and then we spoke. What did we believe in? We say we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. Look at it again. Put your hands here and go back to that 1 Corinthians 15 again. 1 Corinthians 15. I'll take from verse 3. That they were saying verse 3. Say, for I deliver to you, okay, verse 2. By which also, ye have faith. This is that if you keep in memory that which I preach unto you, unless ye believe in vain. Verse 3, now say, for I deliver to you first of all, now which I also received, that how Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. So you believe that Christ died for our sins. You believe that he rose again, hallelujah, for our sins. Then you are saved. You believe. So Paul in Romans chapter 10, where we read, he now said, for with your heart man believes unto righteousness, and with their mouths confession is made unto salvation. What does it say? When you hear the word confession there, it means that's the word homologio, where you speak in agreement with. You are speaking in agreement with what is in our hearts. We are speaking in agreement with what has been preached to us that we believe. Then we now say, hallelujah, we say what we believe. We say what we believe. So that's how we got into, that's how we got saved. We got saved by saying what we believe. We believe it and then we send it. Hallelujah. We believe and then we send it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Say, I believe. I believe. And I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. Hallelujah. So we got saved by speaking, by believing and then speaking. We got saved by believing and then speaking. We believe in agreement, we speak in agreement with our heart. So that's how we come into being saved. That's how we came into the kingdom of God. That's how we came into the family of God. Right? Hallelujah. And that is, it doesn't just end there. And that is how we react to God's word. Remember, when God's word was spoken to you first, you believed it, right? And then you put it on your lips and born again. Right? Right? You believe that Jesus died for your sins. You believe that he was buried and rose again. Right? And then you say, I'm born again. Then you say, I'm a believer. Then you say, hallelujah, I have life. Right? You said it. Your heart was in agreement. Your mouth was in agreement with your speech. So you came in by believing and speaking. That is how you do handle God's word afterwards. You believe it and then you put it on your lips. Who are you hearing me? You believe it, and then you put it on your lips. So, you believe it, and then you put it on your lips. That's how the believer lives. You know that I believe God, and then you are saying something else. You are living beside yourself. We saw that. You're living beside yourself. When your speech and your heart and your believing doesn't agree, it means you believe. That means you're not walking in the light. You are a doubting believer. Amen. But by default, the believer should believe. The believer has been made to believe by default. Amen. Okay, hear me. Once you are born again, you've been made, your default nature is to believe God. It's your default nature. So, when a believer begins to not to believe God, he's hearing something else. We're going to see. That person is hearing something else. Amen. That is not God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, by default, I'm a believer. By default, someone told me one time, why is it that you just easily believe things? Believe good things about people, believe righteousness about people. I said, because I'm a believer. I'm born again, and I have a default nature to believe the best for people. Somebody's going through talk and I said, don't worry to do it. I said, how do you know? Because I know you to do it. I know you're a child of God. I know you to turn out for the good. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. You don't turn out for your good. Glory to God. Amen. So I'm a believer. So that's what we do. We speak in agreement with God's word. We speak in agreement with what we've come to believe from God's word. Hallelujah. A believer is not configured to doubt God's word. No. You are configured to believe God's word. But the moment you begin to post doubt on God's word, you are hearing something else. Something else is becoming your mind. Amen. Glory to God. Someone was arguing one time, he said, how come you just believe? that God made everything. I said, because I'm a believer. He said, no. You have been jammed. I said, no, I've not been jammed. I am a believer. I just believe God. Amen. You see, God is bigger than logic. I know that people don't get it. God is bigger than logic. Bigger. Hallelujah. Amen. So I shared with someone one time. I said, I know someone. Let me just... This is out of my teaching, but I just thought to share. I know someone that went to minister to, and one time like that, he was in the hospital. So we saw marks on his body like king. Flog, you know. Mark, you know when they flog someone, marks and injury, you see the marks. And I was like, how did you get this mark? He said, So one day he was sleeping, and in his dream, somebody was flogging him. What? And he woke up with those marks on his body. Serious flogging. And I said, how did you not come to the hospital? I said, because I came to the hospital to come and do what? Someone flogging in your dream. You want to rush to the hospital. Does that sound right? It's beyond logic. The things that I used to say something like this, the things that you see is not all that it is. Okay, yeah. About life. The earth is supernatural. So all that you see is not all that there is. A man who only speaks based on what he or she sees alone is a man who doesn't know how to follow God. I'm telling you, doesn't know how to follow God. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Elisha and they came and soldiers surrounded them, and the guy began to cry. Elisha said, he that is with us is more than he that is with them. He said, Abba, you can look at them, it's just me and you, one and two. How can we be more? And Elisha prayed. He said, Lord, open his eyes. When his eyes was open, he saw the chariot of God. He said, ha! You know, he had a boasting. We can do it. Ha! Did you see? But at first, he thought it was just he and Elisha. Amen? All that is, that you see, is not all that there is. Hallelujah. Amen? So, things might look in the natural, may be difficult, but you believe God. Why? Because God is my helper. Hallelujah! There's help for me! Glory to God! Hallelujah! So why would you live miserable when I got God by my side? When I have the Holy Ghost? Amen! So I'm a believer! Glory to God! I believe God. What it says I have, I believe it. I have them. What it says I am, I believe it. Because I am what it says I am. If God says I am light, I believe it. Hallelujah. Jesus will say in John 8 verse 12, he says, I'm the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness. I believe it. I have light. I have light. Glory to God. Amen! Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, 5. So we said, how do we live as believers? By putting God's word on our lips. Putting God's word on our lips. Hallelujah. We put God's word on our lips. 13, 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such as they have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hallelujah. But see, that we may not be saved. God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He has said that we may boldly say. Did you see that? We may boldly say. God has said for we to say. So where is God saying it? In the word. Hallelujah. God has said in the scriptures that we may boldly say. Hallelujah. Say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. The Lord is my helper. Is that so? You put God's word on your lips. You put God's word on your lips.
Hallelujah. Second Corinthians chapter 4, quickly. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13. Let's watch to 2 Corinthians 4 13. It says it. Are you there? It says, we have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, we therefore speak. So therefore, what am I saying to you? What you come to believe from God's word, what you see from God's word, right? You put it on your lips. You put it on your lips. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So our words will be putting God's word on our lips. All the time. On our lips all the time. You're not putting other things. Hallelujah. You're not putting lying vanities. You're not putting what the world is showing to you. You're not putting other things that Satan wants you to see. Or what the economy wants you to see. You are putting God's word on your lips. Hallelujah. You are putting what? God's word on your lips. Hallelujah. There's a way the world wants you to speak. There's a way the devil wants you to speak. There's a way situations want you to talk. But you know what? Those things will not be conformity with God's word. Hallelujah. So rather than saying things the way the world wants me to say them, rather than saying things the way the economy wants me to say them, I rather say things the way God's word wants me to say them. Why? Because my words matters a lot. My what? My words matters a lot. It matters a lot. Your words are very important. Matthew 12:6. Look at what Jesus said. My words matter a lot. So cease. Right. Amen. Sorry. I'm going to be... I should be... Can see. Is that on? Are you trying to take that? Okay. 36. By searching him. Matthew 12:36. By searching him. That every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word. Every idle word. The word idle word there is foolish speaking. Foolish speaking. Foolish speaking. Foolish words. Idle. Joke. Some people talk rubbish and say it's a joke. Oh. I'm just joking though. It's idle. It's foolish word. Amen. Minding. You know, what Satan does is to fill your heart. He wants you to fill your heart with what? Short clips. All those short memes. Or what do they call it? What do you guys call it? Okay. Skits. All those short skits to fill your heart with skits. And then, what is Satan looking for? He wants you to start saying those things. Amen. You now begin to lose your seed. You now begin to lose your seed in God's word. You don't know what is seed. Seed is a Greek word for evil, for composure. Amen. You now begin to lose your composure. Your word begins to change. Amen. And say, Sabinus, he's saying it, the way the economy is, very realistic. I was talking to someone one time, and I was speaking about God's word. It was during that election period, and I was saying that when I was being optimistic, right? That everything will work out fine. The person is a very good supporter of someone. Now, I said, no, that she's a realist. Say things the way they are. I say, well, scripture did not teach me to be a realist. Scripture taught me to be optimistic. I believe God. Amen. That's the real thing. I believe God. Hallelujah. You know, what is your hope? Where is hope taking you to? That was the hope maketh not ashamed. You say, no, I'm not talking by you. Say, no, I'm not talking Bible. I said, well, that's all I know. Amen. They came to ask Jesus, shall a man put away his wife for every quarter after Jesus married? Jesus said, have you not read? He that made them at the beginning made them male and female. He went to the world. Me, I'm born again, so I'll go to the world. Amen. Amen. He said, that is why I don't just like talking to you, because going to buy. That's the only place I can go to. Amen. But what I'm saying is, don't allow the world fill your mouth with his words. Don't allow the world. And how would you do it? By putting God's word in your lips, despite and in spite. Amen. In and out of season, you put God's word on your lips. You want to go? Amen. You don't have a job. You have a job. What other things? Things are looking like it's scattering. You don't say, my life has scattered. God do it. You know, some people will not put it like this. God help me with my life. I am missing my chair. My life has scattered, but God help me. Those are two contrast words you shouldn't use. Amen. You can't use, my life has scattered, God help me. No. Amen. You're not speaking in the right prophetic. Amen. Why not say, I'm mightily helped from God. Lines are falling onto me in pleasant places. Hallelujah. Though today looks like this. Though today looks like this, but I know I have light. I know I have light. You are saying God's word. Remember I told you faith in God is not a denial of fact. And I gave you an example last week. A denial of fact, someone who was sick called in to tell the HR that he was sick. And he couldn't say he was sick. He said, I'm strong. And the HR didn't say what. He said, sorry, I want to inform you, I'll not be coming to work today because I'm strong. He did not come to work. The next day he received the query. He resolved and said, but I told the HR I was sick. It's an answer that he made. He said, you are strong. And strong people come to work. He said, no. When I say I'm strong, I mean I'm sick. No. Yo, let's look for strong in dictionary. What is the definition of strong? You are fit and able. Agile. So you start at home. Why are you agile? No. That's the confession of my faith. No. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Faith is not a denial of fact. But faith is speaking God's word, right? In as much as the facts are there, so you are saying God's word over the facts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I know someone who was not feeling fine, and then she began to shout, I don't die, you. Hey, I don't die. More poor. I'm dead, you. And the person died. He said, nobody did that. It's not meant for the child of God. Well, the person was calling dead. I'm dead. You are alive. You are shouting, I'm dead. Amen. Your words are important. Sometimes you are praying for something and you are talking something else. You are praying for something and then you are talking something else. There are words I don't use. Personally, for a long time, I stopped using it. Words like, I don't know. Don't come in the Bible. I can't even talk about it. I don't know. Rather, I'll tell you, I'm praying about it. Amen. I'm saved. Are you saying you don't know? I didn't say that. Hallelujah. No one can say, I don't know. Well, the moment you say, I don't know, you don't know. I will never know. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Let's pray about it. But no, I'm confused. And yes, what I now tell the Lord, thank you because I have life. I'm confused. What can I do now? I'm confused. But in church we are saying, I have the life of God. I know what to do. You see, all those confessions you say, it's not just for church alone. When you go outside, when you're at home, that's where you need those confessions. Amen? Yeah. Oh, I'm confused now. I'm confused. believer. No. Hallelujah. Amen. You come to church and say, I walk in the light.
When you need to sing the song, when those things are looking dark for you,
that's when you need the song, not in church alone. What are you hearing me?
You live in the church, you need to thank God in church, and God is singing. And then you need to sing it. Amen. It's looking dark. There's no way money is going to come. There's no way this is going to happen. Just looking gray, looking dark.
Sometimes people are not so, they get so frustrated and you say, Oh my mate. Come, let me knock your head. Oh my mate. Don't put yourself inside unnecessary pressure. Oh my mate.
I'm making progress. Oh my mate, I'm married.
Tell us what you are looking for. You want to have sex, that's your problem.
Oh my mate, I'm married.
You're looking for an opportunity.
Oh my mate.
I know that there are some of your mates too that are dead.
Rubbish.
Glory to God. You make promise
with God's word on your lips. So your word of God on your lips are vital.
So I do word, like we said. Jesus said you give account of it.
I do words
are words that are not in conformity with God's word. I do words.
I bet someone said, even this Christian thing said, I don't tire.
What do you mean of that?
I do want. Go.
Some people now sit. Now, it's good enough that you are not even saying it. Now, you now go to now you are not listening to stand-up comedians. And you are not saying things against the church. Against pastors. Against believers. And you are not opening your 32.
I am not laughing. And then so far I was not the one saying it. I didn't say I was just laughing.
You are in the same category as the man that is saying it. You are saying it as well. Because you know what? What you feel your heart, you will say it. That is why in Proverbs, the Bible will say, you guard your heart. You guard your heart. Someone like me, before I watch any movie though, I look at the content. I want to go to the review. I can't even get the review. Well, I will search for the movie and get the review before I watch it. That's a movie like that. When I see the content, the review, the maturity, I'll just stay off. How to guard my heart? That's my heart, why? Because I'm even pastoring you guys. Amen. Praise the Lord. Guard your heart. And don't start saying some rubbish. Glory to God. Amen. Because Satan really, like I told you last week, Satan wants to take away your steeds. I said that to you now. Oh, because I didn't call Steve last week. Satan wants to take away your what? Your what? Right? Right? Aha. Glory to God. Amen. So my words are very vital. In Proverbs 18:21, it says death and life. Death and life are in my words. Proverbs 18. Verse 21. The death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. They are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. Death and life. So that means my words are that powerful. Hallelujah. Death and life are in my lips. Therefore, I must mind how I speak. If I know that my life, my words will come to pass. Now I show you, your words will come to pass. Those guys in Numbers, the children of Israel, they were shouting. They said, Moses, Now, what they might be saying is, Moses, your brothers here to kill us. We are all going to die in this wilderness. And God said, what they've said, I've heard it. Numbers 14:28. They have heard it. Tell them, they will perish as they said it in my ear. You see that? They're not saying it. Say, can I say my mind? Oh no, say my mind. Amen? In Bible, in the Word of God, we're not taught to say our mind, but taught to say God's Word. Who God was only? Amen? There's one song that I used to sing there. She was from stupid. I would say my mind. I would talk in black and white. Continue. 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 Amen. You always have what you say. Put it down. I will always have what I say. So if you know that you always have what you say, what would you be saying about your life? What would you be saying about God's work? What would you be saying about what God has committed to your trust? What would you be saying? I'll be saying God's word. Right? Right? I'll be saying God's word. I'll be saying what God is doing. I'll be saying it. Amen. 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 You must say what God must say. You mustn't be a believer that talks anyhow. That talks too much. You always want gifts, looking for gifts to give and receive. You must mind your words. Put caution on how you talk. Put caution on how you talk. Someone some few days ago called me and said that they heard what I said concerning somebody, something, something. And I said, okay. Said, did you say or did you not say? And I laughed. And I said, I don't talk anyhow. How about I say, I don't talk anyhow. This conversation that you are telling me about was a conversation I said to you once. So, are you sure? Yes, said to just one person. And that conversation, I know what the direction of the conversation was about. But the person I went to spread it in another form. So what do you think I'm going to do as a believer? I've marked that person and I've cut myself off from that person. Just listen. You know that? If you come out and say, Pastor said to you, I will tell you why I said it and who I said it to. I don't go from here to here to here to here to here to here. No! And whatever thing I say, I can defend it. Just go and see. And I don't know. This, another person, this is what I say. And this is to who I said it to. And this is how I said it to the person. But that was not how we received it. I said, well, one does not for you people to receive it. It was for that person. Do you see that? You don't believe it? Yeah. So you must mind how you talk. I don't believe it. I said, I heard that thing. So, Jesus asked that thing. Who did he get? Ah! I don't know. You talk too much. Let me borrow more. Your mouth is like tap water. It's just been moving. Tap a push. Sorry, brother, papa, you didn't know what happened. You're in learn now. You call out the body of life. Talking rubbish. When you say this, yes, who did you say it to? I said it to you, what? Here we go. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 2. It says, be not rash with thy mouth. Do you see that? And let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Remember, stop. When the children of Israel were murmuring around, and then Moses heard them, right? Were murmuring. And what did God say? What they said in my ears. Do you see that? What they said in my ears. So that means, listen, when it says before God, it's not in prayer, what you put on your lips, you are saying it before God, as a believer. You are saying before God. What do people will believe? Amen. So let not thy heart be hasty to utter thee anything before God. For God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. You see that? Let thy words be few. Don't talk too much. Too much. Verse 6 quickly. Okay. Verse 6. It says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Never say thou before the angel that it was an error. Say, no, I was joking. You know what I mean? So just a joke. It's a slip of tongue. Is that what? It's a slip of tongue that I said it. It's a slip of tongue. Watch. Amen. Pastors, leaders, have you had opportunity to counsel people before? Maybe two brethren that were in disagreement. If you had opportunity to counsel believers that were in disagreement before, you will see that it is always about what one said and another person said. It's not about what. No, I didn't mean it that way. But a slip of tongue where it has left out. You see that? Words. It has come out. Words. You see that? Words. Words. It is, hey, never say it that it was an error. Wherefore, should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the works of thy hands? Isn't that? So that means your words are that powerful. So you shouldn't have slippery words. They slip out. No. Believers, mind your words. Amen. Rather than talking. Rather than talking your mind. Especially in the place of anger, keep quiet. You might look like you're stupid, but just keep quiet. Amen. Keep quiet. Learn it. Learn it. Because many times, the words were spoken. Let me tell you the truth. Eh? Maybe you say some words to some people. You say, okay, I'm forgiving you. See, many times, you see someone in their mind. Just that the recovery deeds have not yet been played. You did the recovery deeds in the play. You say, but I tell you something, but I did, but I thought you say you're forgiving me. The recovery deeds just played. Amen. So, why say, keep quiet. Amen. I said it to someone recently. In the place of anger, keep quiet. Keep quiet. Just keep quiet. Don't say a word. Amen. Amen. I said someone angry before. And then people said, let me forget, just forget that Bible thing. Leave that to one side. Deliver to one side. Don't tell me rubbish. Believer. Yeah. I was telling some pastor some things some days back. I saw someone walking. I guess the person was angry with someone. I guess they were shouting. But it was in the airport. Amen. Amen. In the airport. I stood down looking at the person. Let him turn back and look at me, saw that it's me. And then he continued. Man! He said, like, I don't care who you are. I'll say, Mama! Amen. Was you in the airport? I just laughed. Believer. Believer. Yeah, believer. Have you? Look to the world, you will find yourself. Evening. Yes, believer. Amen. Look into the world. What you see is who you are, and that is what you see. Hallelujah. What you see from God's word is who you are. And that's what you put on the lips. Glory to God. Amen. So I must speak out God's word. Yeah? I must do what? Speak out God's word, no matter what. Okay, hear me. No matter what, I must speak out God's word. Why? Because our God also is a speaking God. Some people don't know God speaks. Hallelujah. God is a speaking God. Genesis 3:8. Look at Genesis 3:8. I don't believe I've seen you. Bible says, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They heard God's voice. God was talking. God talks. Hallelujah. Amen. He was talking. What is he talking about? What he's doing in here? He's talking about the facts in the earth. Hallelujah. He's talking. Adam has seen. God is coming and God was speaking. You see that? So our God is a speaking God. And he expects that his children too will be speaking children. Our mouth is not given to us to eat alone. Our mouth is given to us to chart the course of our lives. To chart the course of our lives. What are you saying with your words? What are you saying with your words? Amen. Amen. What are you saying with your words? What do you have on your lips? Hallelujah. God wants you to talk. Talk out his word. In Genesis 1 verse 3, look at how God made the earth. It says, verse 2, said the earth was that form of God, and that was upon the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved by the surface of the water, and God said. God said. So God created the world by speaking. You know that? God said, let there be light, and there was light. Amen. God created by speaking. Amen. Amen. God created by what? Let's look at Psalm 33. Psalm 33, verse 3. Verse 6 rather. It says, for this shall everyone, Psalm 33, sorry, 32. 33. Verse 6, it says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Did you see that? How did God make the world? By his words. Did you see that? So your words are very vital. Say, I'm a child of God. Then do like your father does, right? He uses his words. Amen. He says he gathered the water of the sea together. As an heap, he laid up the depths in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Is that? God spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Let's go further. Psalms 148. Psalms 148. Quickly. Hope you are following me now. Amen. Okay, change. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, Psalms 148, thank you. Are you in Psalms 148? Okay. Verses 5. He says, let them praise the name of the Lord. He says, for he commanded and they were created. Is that? Amen. So, God spoke. God spoke and things became. Did you see that? Did you see that? So God speaks for things to come. So God is a speaking God. Hallelujah. God is a what? Say God is a speaking God. God is a speaking God. Say it.
God is a speaking God.
Very vital, you must know that. So God speaks. God speaks. And God doesn't speak anyhow. Okay, hear me. God doesn't speak anyhow. You shouldn't speak anyhow. Even in your joke, don't joke anyhow. Don't joke with useless words. Okay, hear me. Amen. Amen. Let's see a few more. Genesis 1, Genesis 3 back. Genesis 3. Now we said, Adam and Eve now had eaten of what God asked them not to eat. That was unbelief. Now they were naked. Now verse 11. God came. Look at what God said. And God said, who told you you are naked? You see that? Genesis 3:11. God answered, who told you you are naked? And
said we are naked, we hid ourselves from you because we are naked.
Does God not know? Does God not know? Does God not know that he is sin? God knows. Right? But God asked, who told you you have known? Did you see that? Who told you? Who told you are naked? It means I'm naked, we're naked, that's what I'm going to have. God said, who told you are naked? Meaning, where are you hearing from? What have you filled your mouth with? Amen. We are just saying the reason, the way it is. Who told you you are naked? Did you see God's response? Were you not naked? Were you not naked? And God said, who told you? So that means the moment I begin to see outside God's word, when I begin to talk outside God's word, something else is feeding me. I said it, I said if a dog begins to bark at the owner, somebody else is feeding the dog. When a believer begins to talk in doubt, when a believer begins to talk in unbelief, begin to use wrong words, something else is what the believer is feeding on that's not the word of God. So God, who told you? You are feeding on something else. You are feeding on the lies of the devil. Isn't that? Who told you? You're naked. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, God wants you to see as he sees and speak as he speaks. Hallelujah. Amen. I won't have time in this thing to show you someone else. His name is David. David. Now, remember, it's not you faith and not a denial of fact, but you see David. David did something else. Did something wrong. The prophet Nathan came to tell him. And what did he do? He went and dared the prayer. And when he was praying, he was saying God's word. Amen. He said, I know redemption will come. I know you have mercy. Did you see that? What is it? Messed up. He didn't go ahead to say that to God. Amen. He spoke God's word. In our thought that something wrong has happened. Amen. He said it, and then he said, I will look again. Hallelujah. Mercy. Gracious. Hallelujah. He admitted. He admitted all of those something wrong. He admitted. And then he spoke God's word. He must put God's word on your lips. You are not denying the fact, but you are saying God's word right over the fact while admitting the fact exists. Do you get me? Not somebody is sick and say, this is my sickness. You shouldn't say that. Hallelujah. You shouldn't say, this is my sickness. Amen. This is my sickness has come again. It will come again. This your sickness will come again. God is your own. Hallelujah. Let your mouth be full of God's possibilities, irrespective of what you are seeing, irrespective of what the world is showing you. Let your mouth be full of God's possibilities. We saw David and Goliath. Goliath was a giant, an obstacle, right? But David said, who is this all circumcised? And he dared defy the armies of the living God. He spoke up possibility. Amen. He saw possibility. Who is he? Said the Lord, he said, I will cut off your head. I'll give your body to the bed of the enemy. And the captain of the army of the priest to the bed of the enemy. You know that there's a God in Israel. He was speaking possibility. He knows what God can do. Hallelujah. Unlike the other 10 in number that went to spy the land, they came up with evil reports. They said, you saw giants here. The sons of Anak were there. We are like grasshoppers in their hands. Hallelujah. But Caleb and Joshua said, they are bread for us. Is it that Caleb and Joshua did not see giants? They saw. Amen. They saw giants. But they knew God's power was bigger than the giants. You know what those guys, when Joshua and Caleb were to talk, they didn't say, no, there was no giant. They didn't say that. Right? So they admitted the giants were there. But they said, they are bread for us. Hallelujah. So let's trust the Lord. These guys are bread for us. And the Lord will put them down right before us. They spoke possibility. They saw possibility. In God's word. And they said, glory to God. Amen. I heard someone enemy. I can never prosper in this Nigeria. My destiny is in Canada.
See, sorry, nothing you do will prosper me.
You see, all my, what my eyes can see is Canada. Gata. See, you have said rubbish before. Amen. But you have this same country. People are cashing out in billions. And people are running away. Oh boy, one day, we'll have time to talk to Zonga. We'll have just a session there, just not in church service, just where we just talk about some of these things. Answer some questions we don't want. Oh, yeah, we'll have that teaching now. Answering to those questions. I'm going to add Gata to it. Yeah, we're going to look at Gata. It's what's happening in our world today. We're going to look at it also. Amen. You don't know that it's in scriptures. We'll look at it also. Is this today people are in Gata? 1985, they found the song. Nigerians were running out of the country. That's how they sung. Nigeria grew better. I know some of you don't know that song. That was Dori MK Abiola's campaign song. It started Nigeria. The people were running out of it. So it's Gata did not start to deal. Stop the thing that Gata did not start to deal. The Gatas. Not you guys, because I know you stay with God's word. And you are taught how to put God's word on your lips. Hallelujah. Glory to God, you make progress. You move forward. Hallelujah. But we're going to answer that question. Someone asked me, that was you see, towards end of last month, someone asked me this same question. He said, "Asma, are you not planning chapter for yourself as a pastor?" I said, "What?" He said, No. I laughed. I said, "No. I've never thought of whether I should get that. It has never crossed my head." Are you a youth? I think somebody of 49 still wants to get that. I said, "You're not that finished now. How do you get that?" You just want to die in foreign land. You just want to die in foreign land. Is he 49 or what? He's more than 49. You should have another 49 or 50. Is it early 50 or what? I'm here. But the person is not he's a pastor. To certain gap. I'm like, man of God. Man of God. What a gap. Amen. Don't worry. I never crossed my mind. And it will never cross my mind. Don't worry. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hope you are with me. So look at that from scriptures. After our study of Colossians, that's what we look at. Answering to this question from scriptures. Hallelujah. Let's round this up. So you must see possibilities. You must see possibilities. Ezekiel, quickly. Let's quickly rush to Ezekiel. Hallelujah. Amen. Sorry. Ezekiel 37. Okay. Then I'm going to read. He says, "And the hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Bones. He called the first one about them, and behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very, very what? Say dry. So, Ezekiel 37. Hope you're all there. How were the bones? So is that an hopeless situation? Everybody look up. Is that an hopeless situation? The hopeless situation, bones were dry. Dry bones! And here is what God said to Ezekiel. He says in verses 3, and he said to him, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Question. There was impossibility. Impossibility, just like the Goliath situation, just like the sons of Anak situation. There was impossibility. And he said, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And yet how the King James put it says, and he answered, "Oh God, thou knowest." Now this answer, yeah, it makes you look at him and say, "God, or you're for you, only you know." That's how it makes you look like. "Oh God, or you're for you, it's just you alone that know. Me, I don't know." That response shouldn't, if that was the response, should have warranted verses 4. Actually, the Hebrew word used there, "thou knowest," is the word that says, "it is possible." That was his response. Amen. Can this not be? His response was, "it is possible." Hallelujah. That means he believed in God's provision. He believed in God's power. He believed in what God is doing in the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in the situation you find yourself, God is asking you, can this situation be for good? So how would you respond? You put God's word on your lips. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't say, "Oh God, these bones are very dry, oh. Help! This one died 17 years ago. This one dry is like 40,000 years. God, impossible." The best that of us talk with our mouth. Impossible. God, impossible. I came out with school with pass. Impossible. God, impossible. I didn't have math and English. Impossible. I can't make it to life. Impossible. The two of us have now let God their way. Amen. God, impossible. I tried doing handwork. Handwork did not work. Impossible. You may not say the word I'm saying, but your words have said it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. No. No. That is not your response. Your response should be possibility in God's word. Hallelujah. I'm making progress. You might not see what you maybe where you are, things are tough. You can't even see how tomorrow is going to be like. Where are going to, but you know what he said? There's light tomorrow. Hallelujah. Don't use words. I don't know what tomorrow will be like. Tomorrow is better. I don't know what's going to give birth. No. You say what's like. You say what's like. I know what my tomorrow will be like. I make progress. I move forward. The light of God's word shines on my path. Hallelujah. Amen. Problem. You say no. Hallelujah. I know what to do. Hallelujah. I have the wisdom of God. I know what to do. The power of God is working through me. If it is for sickness, the power of God is working through me. I know what to do. I know how to get things done. Hallelujah. You put God's word on your lips. Put it on your lips much more. Say God's word much more. You can say things like, rather than saying wrong word like, "I don't know who." Some people say it to themselves. Why? Why? Some people is a reflection. Sorry. We are all soon going to be parents. Right? Mind what you say to your children. Mind it. Some of us will now, because we now, some people have seen people who have been talking to their children with this cause. Maybe that is how you are brought up. Doesn't mean you should bring up your children that way. When you are brought up, naked today, you are in that kind of family. Where you are being talked to by insult, coffee, olori buruku, omoi jati jati. You know, I'm not telling you, you know, say, "I'm not olori buruku." They will slap your face to fall. You're not going to be rude at home. But you know what you'll do? Once you're out of there, you start to make progress. Hallelujah. I know what to do. I'm smart. I'm intelligent in the name of Jesus Christ. So if you're in that kind of home, you're not going to be heady. You're not going to be stubborn. Once those words are called, you go out and then you say God's word to yourself. Hallelujah. Come and help me. I make progress in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to be stagnated in life. Hallelujah. The light of God shines in my path. I'm intelligent. I'm smart. I'm courageous. Hallelujah. I'm taking the right steps. In the name of Jesus Christ. You say you are saying God's word to yourself. Come and help me. Come and help me. Don't Then you now go to school, you now do assignment, you now get 0/10 and say, ah! Am I really? You know, to that point where they've called you that name so much. They've called you Omale so much. You don't know Omale is a Greek word for bastard child. Omale. You don't grow up, you're not thinking you are really a bastard. So those things have a way of affecting people psychologically. Hallelujah. So you, if you are in such kind of homes, if you are in such kind of places, right? You resist those words by saying God's word on your lips. Hallelujah. You say God's word on your lips, and then as time goes on, you can now engage your parents to tell them how not to use God's word in a peaceful manner. If not, maybe turning gari, you know what called turning gari? That will hit your brain. But you know what? You can say the right word. Hallelujah. You can say the right word and make sure you don't use such words for your children when you get to have children. What about your enemy? Amen. Say the right words to yourself. Say it to yourself. Glory to God. Glory to God. I make progress in the name of Jesus. I don't know how to quit. I don't quit. I don't fail. I don't fall. You know, you are saying God's word. Hallelujah. I don't stand and then take my hands off. I don't set my hand on the plow and look back. I'm in God's word. I'm in the work of the ministry. I stay there. Hallelujah. Not just see possibility about things. Also see possibility about what God has called us to do. To preach the gospel. See possibility. See possibility in your streets. See possibility in people's lives. Some people are good in writing people off. You say, this one can never be born again. Look at his life. No! See possibility. Hallelujah. See possibility in that street. See possibility in that town. See possibility in that state. Hallelujah. Amen. They might look like dry bones that can never receive life. But just like Ezekiel, you are going to say, Lord, it is possible. You say it in your prayer. Lord, it is possible. Lord, of Golgotha is taken. Lord, Mapuluku is taken for the gospel. Lord, Ajawo is taken and Gopemu is taken for the gospel. Hallelujah. You are loud about it. You are loud about it. In the name of Jesus. And then you put it on your lips. You put it on your lips. Don't pray for a place and then you curse the place with your words. No. You are seeing God's word. You are seeing the possibilities and then you are praying. You are seeing what God is doing. You are seeing what God's word, what God is doing, and then you are seeing. Hallelujah. Amen. I close with this morning. Hallelujah. Now, I close with this. Never. When it comes to the work of ministry, when it comes to the work of ministry, when it comes to the task of God, put sufficiency on yourself. Satan wants you to feel not qualified. Maybe because of wrong things. Maybe because of your past experience. That I'm going to say something that is very vital. And it's very vital. He wants to make you feel you are not qualified to carry on God's task. You begin to think about wrong and past escapades. Maybe some things you've done or some things you've said. You know, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do it anymore. No. So that is the life of the devil. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 3 to 6. It is. Let me show you. 2 Corinthians 3. We're not reading it. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3. It says, but what has... Okay. Are you at 2 Corinthians 3? Now, it says, for as much as we are manifestly declared to be epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not in ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but the fleshy tablets, in the fleshy tables of the heart, and such have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. Isn't that? We are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Our sufficiency is of God. Our qualification is of God. He says, who have made us able ministers of the New Testament. Hallelujah. So God has qualified me to preach his word. You say, don't say, I don't think I'm qualified. Amen. I don't think because of, I used to be a chain smoker. I used to be a womanizer. I used to be XYZ. I used to be a drug person. I don't think I used to take drugs before I got born again. I don't think I can preach. No. No. God has qualified us in Christ. Hallelujah. What about you, amen? Amen. I know of a brother one time like that, who was a man who found. For you. No, he is a man who found. Man who found. And he has always been a demon. So, before he got born again, he got drunk. Before he got born again, he got drunk one day. And then, he now gave him, you know, granos to doubt it. So the granos was named Chelsea. And I said, why are you giving me Chelsea? The solution to his problem was Chelsea. He said, no, I won't buy you granos. They are helping your life. Drink has gotten into your brain. He said, he wants my new granos. Perhaps today he's born again. Hallelujah, the work of God. Hallelujah. Trust the Lord that you will yet do the work of God. But let's continue. Now what am I saying? I'm saying, imagine that person and say, I don't think I'm qualified because of my last, because of my previous escape. No. That's if any man being Christ is a new creation. All things are past. Those things are gone. They are gone. God has qualified me. Amen. I know another brother who got saved. But before he got saved, he impregnated a lady. And the lady went to be with him. But after 9 months, and then the baby was almost 6 months old. You know, the lady said, she's missing. Because she left the baby to grow so the baby would look like the guy. And then now brought the guy back. Now brought the boy back. When he brought the boy couldn't deny. No, but the baby said, I did not. This child was looking, it is undeniable. We couldn't deny it. You know the joke? I was in school, they called me. I said, this brother, there's a baby that they brought. I said, no, it can't be the brother. I'm in the car. I said, ha, pastor. This child resembles him. He said, see, this child is a carbon copy. Even the parents couldn't reject it. And I called the brother and said, oh, what? He said, I said, when did that happen? He said, before I got saved. I said, you're not aware? He got saved 2 days after he had done that thing. 2 days. He told me. The second day was when the word of the Lord was preached. He got saved on the 31st of December. That was when the word of the Lord was preached to me. And I got saved. This thing happened on the 29th. Pastor, I was drunk. But I could still remember her. But how come you didn't know this was? I don't know. The lady ran away to be with me. Gave birth. Train the child. To look like me. Pastor. This guy looked like me. He was telling the Bible, this guy looked like me. And I told him, you are still qualified to preach the word. But you know, Satan got a hold of his heart. I don't know what he was expecting. But when he spoke to me on phone, I heard him. I was writing my exam. Because of him, on my final day of writing the exam, I carried my bag to the exam hall. As I was done with the exam that morning, I was in the next bus back to Lagos. Just to see him. When I was talking to him, he said, Pastor, I said, what are you expecting God to do? Are you expecting God to kill the child? God is not going to kill the child. I said, oh, Pastor! I said, God is not going to kill the child. You face the consequence. And it's something you need to know as a believer. There's consequence for wrongdoing. You face the consequence. Don't worry. You face the consequence of that act. But you stay with God's word. But the guy did not hear. He said, sir, I'm not qualified to preach the gospel. I said, no. Not qualified. I said, not. And he went back to the word. That's what Satan wants people to believe. He wants people to think they are not qualified to do the gospel. The men want people to think they're not qualified to preach the word of God. They want you to think. Satan wants you to think. You don't have the capacity to talk about Jesus to the next person. Maybe because you made a mistake. Maybe even as a believer, maybe because you made a mistake. Maybe because you did something that was wrong, like think you're not righteous. No, your righteousness is not because of your works. Your righteousness is because you are in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Although if you do something wrong, you face the consequences. If you steal, they will lock you. But it doesn't change the fact that you are born again. What are you hearing me? Doesn't change the fact that you are born again. Doesn't change the fact that you have the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. So you are born again. You are a child of God. Amen. You are righteous. Let me put it for you in capital letter. You are righteous. God has made you sufficient. That's what Paul is saying. He said he has qualified us. We are qualified. He said he has made us able. Able ministers means I'm a qualified minister. God has made you able to preach his word. God has made your mouth sanctified to talk about his gospel. Amen. Don't allow guilt to set you. What are you hearing me? Prove God's word on you. I'm righteous. Amen. I'm righteous. I'm sanctified. I have light. Amen. You know, the more you say that to your life, you begin to walk that way. You begin to think that way. Hallelujah. Amen. So, God is the one who has qualified you. God is the one who has, so you are not qualified on your own terms. You are qualified on God's terms. You are not sufficient on your own terms. You are sufficient on God's terms. Hallelujah. No matter what, you are sufficient. No matter what, you are able. No matter what. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. You are able. You are able. It doesn't mean that you should now misbehave in terms of conduct. No. We're not dealing conduct. We're talking about who you are first. You are righteous. And God has qualified you. God has qualified you. So go ahead and talk about the gospel. Go ahead and speak about the gospel. Amen. You are not a performer. God has performed his work in you. You're not trying to perform and make yourself do good and make yourself do PR. No. No, the way you are preached is God. You are qualified to preach. Amen. Say, I'm qualified to preach. I'm qualified to talk about God. I'm qualified to put God's word on my lips. Amen. Say, I'm qualified. I'm qualified. Hallelujah. Jonah was in a place of death. He was in Sheol. He was dead in the belly of the fish. The Bible says that was a hopeless situation. But Jonah opened his mouth and said that he was in the belly of the fish. Then I will look again to Jesus. He was in the belly of the fish. And Jesus described it as he was dead. And yet he spoke God's word. Situation was hopeless. Of your hopeless situation. Amen. Scientifically, how did he breathe? Well, he knelt down and said, I will look again to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now speak of your word. The Lord, the dead will not speak of you. Now speak of your word. Now look again to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Your word. Did he start saying, I'm finished. And inside the shark baby. Death has come. Oh! My soul. Listen to that. He put God's word on his lips. That's Jonah. Jonah. Hallelujah. Put God's word on your lips. Hallelujah. What are you doing with God's word that you have been taught? What are you doing with God's word? And every day you have been taught. Chapter 2, rather. Jonah 2. Verse 1. It says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord God out of the belly of the fish and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and thou, and he heard me. Out of the belly of the fish cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou didst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea, and in the flood, compassed me about all the billows, and the winds passed me over. Then I said, I'm cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again towards the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah to the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Amen. It says in the song. I mean, verse 5. It says, the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The death closed me round about. This is present death. Then the weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountain. The earth and her back was about me forever. Yes. Have thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Do you see that? When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee, unto thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanity forsake their fullness. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I vow. Salvation is of the Lord. Did you see that? In the belly of the fish, he puts God's word on his lips. There's no situation hopeless for the believer. Hope you're hearing me. There's no situation hopeless for the believer. The believer is born of God. The believer is born of God. And God will always use you. God will always walk with what is available. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, he walked with the dark waters. With the darkness, he commanded light to shine out of darkness. God will walk with you. God will use you as he has always been. Put God's word on your lips. Keep saying God's word. Don't stop talking God's word. Hallelujah. Learn something. Learn something. Just share with someone what you've learned. Talk to someone and share what you've learned. Talk to someone. Share with the person what you've learned from the beginning of this teaching. Show the person what you learned from the beginning of this teaching.